Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
I meant to share something with you last week when we had our fellowship dinner, and then I just totally forgot it, so I brought my note with me to remind me. I don't know if you may not know that, but I try to eat healthy, not all the time, but I do have my binges every once in a while, and a chocolate attack and a pizza attack every once in a while, but not as much as I used to. And so I try to eat healthy and trying to take care of my body and my health. And I think that's what we're supposed to do as good stewards. And then I heard this statistic. I thought this was, wow, this is really interesting. It kind of blows all my theories away. One of the latest surveys reveals some shocking information about diet. The Japanese eat more fat in their diet, yet they have less heart disease than English-speaking people. The Mexicans and the Spanish community eat a lot more fat in their diet and yet have a lot less heart disease than the English. The Chinese drink very little red wine, and yet they have a lot less heart disease than the English. The Italians drink a lot of red wine and suffer eat a lot more fat and suffer less heart disease than the English. The Germans drink a lot of beer and they eat a lot of fat sausage, and they suffer less heart disease than the English. The conclusion is, eat and drink whatever you want. Speaking English is apparently what kills you. So that's my latest health theory. Thought I'd share that with you last week. Forgot to do it. I want to talk to you tonight briefly about one of the great mysteries. The Lord laid this on my heart to share with you tonight to encourage you in the area that you probably have to struggle as I do, and that is in the area of prayer. Prayer is one of those mysteries of God. I mean, think about it. Prayer, what is prayer? Prayer is words. Words to God. God who already knows everything. He already knows what you're going to say it, before you think it. Why do we need to tell him something he already knows? And yet prayer is one of those mysteries of God that God has created. It's his invention for us to connect with him and for us to exercise a degree of faith that is necessary to walk the supernatural life that we're called to walk in. So prayer, that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, prayer and faith, the connection. You can't pray without faith, and without faith, you won't pray. It's a simple fact. I mean, you look at your life, and if you honestly, if you admit to yourself, you know, I don't pray. I don't pray much. I maybe give thanks over our food, and I don't really spend the time in closet prayer and private prayer and just talking to God. Well, there's got to be a reason for that, and you really need to know what that reason is, and you really need to search that matter out, because it's possible that there's an area of unbelief there in your own heart as a believer, and you need to root that thing out, because that's affecting your growth and your maturity. It's affecting your walk with God. It's affecting your life. And so the bottom line is this: faith prays. Unbelief stops praying. And if you stop praying, then there's an area of unbelief that you need to find out. What is it that causes me to not pray as I'm instructed to be devoted to prayer? And prayer is part of the armor of God, and prayer is one of my tools and one of my weapons, and it takes faith to pray. It takes faith to keep on seeking God in prayer until the answer comes. So prayer and faith are how we connect with this unseen God. We talk to Him, though we don't see Him, we don't feel Him. And we believe that He's there, though we can't see Him, and He hears us. So this is an exercise of faith that will encourage your spiritual growth and maturity. The Bible makes it clear that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Can't be satisfactory to God. Faith is the very thing that God has designed for us to connect with Him. For whosoever would come near to God must believe that He exists and that He's a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him out. So God has designed this mystery called faith and prayer to work together for us to connect with Him. That's it. That's how we connect. We are called believers. We believe in stuff that the world says is foolish. The world says it's not real. It's not scientific. You can't prove it. If God is real, prove that He exists. And we can't prove it necessarily in all the sciences to satisfy anybody. But you don't need to satisfy anybody other than yourself if you have faith. So you just believe. And belief is one of those things. Faith is what God gives you. To every man, Romans 12:3, a measure of faith has been given. So we have the measure of faith to be able to connect with God. But if we don't exercise it, we don't use it, then there's an effect in our life because of that. Now, Jesus teaches a parable that I want to go to. And you got your Bible, go to Luke chapter 18. And before I get into this parable, a parable is just a story. Before I get to this story that Jesus told about faith and prayer, I want you to see the last verse, because the last verse is the summary of what the Lord is trying to teach this story about. And what's His point? And the last verse is Luke 18, verse 8. And here are the words of the Lord Jesus says, however, when the Son of Man, that's a term that for Jesus, He's God, and yet He was in His humanity, man. However, when the Son of Man comes, when He returns to earth, His second coming, will He find faith on the earth? So it's very important, because we've been talking about the book of Revelation on Sunday mornings. It's a mysterious book, a lot of symbolism, a lot of prophetic things, and yet it shows us it's all leading to the climactic, most climactic event in history. That's the second coming of the Lord Jesus. In a few weeks, we'll be in that chapter. And so here the Lord is saying, when the Son of Man returns, the second coming, after the world has gone through the tribulation period on the earth, the 7 years, the Antichrist has ruled, and this Sunday we're talking about probably 666, the marks of the beast and things like that. When the Antichrist is running rampant upon the earth and has dominated the system and has just wreaked devastation, and judgments have come from heaven, a third of vegetation and food and light and water has been destroyed, a third of the people have been killed. When the Son of Man comes at the end of all of that, will He find faith in you and me? In other words, after you've gone through all of this, will you still have the faith that prays to God, that believes in God? Now, this is a very important thing to understand. The question itself the Lord is asking should wake us up. Is He implying by this question that people who have faith in Him could lose their faith? Is He saying this? Is He asking this question? When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith in your life on the earth when He comes back? Is it possible that the people of faith could lose their faith because of all the devastation, all the harsh things that are going to happen in the world? The church is certainly raptured out, and the believers are paying a heavy price to now be believers. Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? Could the pressures of life become so tough and so difficult in your life that you will not have the faith to carry yourself through the storms that are coming? That's a good question. So I want to make this personal, and I'd like us to think about it now to you. If you were there when Jesus spoke these words and you heard him talking this story and he's teaching you, you know he's talking to you. And so here we are sitting at the Lord's feet, and we hear him say it like this to us. When I return to earth, and will I find you still trusting me? Will you still be praying to me for your help? Or will I find that you've lost heart and you've given up hope and you've fallen back into sin? Now we understand what he's talking about. Now we get a grasp of understanding how faith works and how prayer and faith are connected. And then now we go to the beginning of this in Luke 18 and verse 8 it is. He says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray, and they ought not to lose heart. So he's trying to teach us something here about the importance of prayer and your faith, how they're connected. Faith prays. Unbelief stops praying. It's as simple as that. Faith will pray to God and believe that he's there and will talk to God, will cast your cares upon the Lord, will listen for the Lord, will wait upon the Lord. But unbelief will stop it and say, it doesn't work. It's nonsense. He's not listening. He's not there. And so Jesus spoke this parable, this story, to teach people that we should always pray. Never lose heart. Don't cave into the pressure and stop praying. Don't cave in to the devil who's whispering in the background saying you're wasting your time. Don't cave into that. Because faith prays. Faith keeps you alive to the things of God. Why is prayer of all things so important to God? Think about it. Why did you invent prayer? Why is it such a big deal? I think it is because simply we know that faith is the very thing that God is pleased with. When we come to God, we must be exercising a degree of faith. So when we pray, we have to exercise faith that God is there and he hears us, or else we won't do it. So prayer and faith are vital. Prayer is our words to God. We believe when we pray, we're talking directly to God, that he hears us. And even if our words are not the best words, he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. We can pray with our voice, or we can pray with our thoughts, and God hears both of them. But it's better to pray with your voice, because you can't be so distracted when you pray out loud with your voice. You hear yourself. You'll be less distracted when you pray out loud. See? So prayer is exercising a level of faith that pleases God. He knows, you know he's there. And we must never stop just because we don't see anything changing at the moment and say, well, I'm just not going to pray anymore about it. Men always ought to pray, Jesus said, and not lose heart. And the words lose heart there mean to faint, to be exhausted, to be worn out, to give up on faith in God because you've had to wait for a long time. Something I don't like, but is part of the necessity of growing us in faith, is how I've noticed that waiting and hoping in God are a necessary part of our spiritual maturity. We have to learn to wait on the Lord. We have to learn to keep hope in the Lord, even when we don't see anything changing. And when we have to wait for something for years or a long period before we see anything happening, there's a tendency to give up hope and quit instead of persevering just because we don't see anything on our end happening. We've got to believe that every time we pray, it's not in vain. Something is happening in the spirit realm. Something is happening in the realm we don't see. It may be just the fact that God's building our perseverance, that we don't quit, that we have the faith that says, I will never give up. It could be. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you have to keep putting off hope, if you wait for a long, long period of time, you get heart sick because you're disappointed. You don't see things. And then on top of that, demons add fuel to the fiery darts of doubt to make you lose heart and make you want to quit. And there is a mocking spirit that you have heard. You may not recognize it as a mocking spirit, but now you will tonight, because a mocking spirit comes to you when you're waiting for a promise, when you're waiting for an answer. You know that you have the petition that you should be asking God for. You know you're right about praying for something, and you know God's given it in His Word. He said He's going to give it to you, and that you have to wait for it to come to pass for whatever reason. And it's during that time a mocking spirit will come to you and sound like your own voice in your own head. And the mocking spirit will say things like, nothing has changed. Where is God? You're waiting for something that's not going to happen. Where is your God now that you need Him? And these voices are in your own voice in your mind, and it's a mocking spirit. And as soon as you recognize that, you need to rebuke that in Jesus' name and command it to leave. And anyone who has prayed for a long time for someone or for something has heard this mocking voice in your head. Peter even warned about our day. He said there's going to come a time in the end of times, right before the Lord's return, that people are going to say, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, nothing's changing. And we already hear this. You probably heard that out in the world. If you haven't, I'd be surprised. People say, I've heard about Jesus coming back all my lifetime. Nothing's changed. It was supposed to happen in 1988, and it was supposed to happen here. So-and-so predicted this, and then nothing's happened. Come on. It's a mocking spirit. In the particular story, I'm not going to read it for you. I'm just going to tell you what it's about. You've read it before. It's this parable about a widow who comes before what is described as an unjust judge. And she's coming for justice from her adversary. The judge has no regard for God. He does not fear God, and he doesn't fear people. But he realizes that this lady is persistent in her pursuit for justice, and she will not quit. She will persevere, and she'll continue to come to his courtroom every day, demanding justice come to her adversary. And he realizes that he's going to have to do something with her, hear her case. He ignores her. He doesn't want to deal with it until he realizes she's not going to go away until I hear her case and give her justice. And Jesus uses this earthly parable to teach us a point that we need in faith and in prayer. And as a child, you know, you were probably taught, say your prayers before you go to bed at night. Well, that's good for a child level to teach your children to say their prayers. There's nothing wrong with that in the learning stage. But as you mature, you know, prayer is more than just saying your prayers. Prayer has to do with believing that you're connecting with God. The moment you exercise the faith and say, Heavenly Father, you've connected with Him. You've reached out and you've touched Him. You are connected with Him, and He is hearing you. And you believe that, otherwise you wouldn't bother. And so it's caused you to give voice to something deep on the inside of you that's called faith. And you're speaking to a God you can't see, taste, touch, or feel, but He's there, and you connected with Him the moment you spoke. And you're believing, you're encountering God, And God is a just God. I mean, he will bring true justice. You may go to court here and not get true justice, but with God, God is a just God, and you can come before him with your petitions, and he will do what is right. Hallelujah. And so scripture, about 2 weeks ago on a Thursday night, Pam and I came in here and we were praying and just seeking the Lord and making sure that God, getting things right with God and cleaning up some things in our lives that just need to be cleared up. And then after we prayed and cast all of our cares on God, I mean, just everything you're concerned about, every care, whether your health, your finances, your family, whatever, every detail, just casting it in prayer, saying it to God. God, I'm concerned about this. Will you take care of this? I have need of this, God. Will you take care of this? And as you cast these cares off of you, the heaviness begins to lift. And you've cast, and then when you're done, you know you're done. There's a silence. I've emptied everything out of my heart. There's nothing else there. Nothing else pressing. So I've emptied it all out. I've cast my cares upon you, like you said. And then after that time of casting my cares, making my petitions, making my requests, all those things, then it's time to be quiet. And I sat down right over there with my Bible open. Now it's time to listen. Just thumb through my Bible. If anything scripture comes to my mind, I'll look at it. I'm connected with God. I've talked to God. I'm expecting him to talk to me. I'm looking through his word. One scripture came to my mind, Psalm 33, verse 22, and I had my Amplified Bible. And so I wasn't familiar with it, but I just that address came to me, so I looked it up, and I read it, and it says, "Let your mercy and loving kindness," which is another word for grace. You should have it up on PowerPoint. "Let your mercy and loving kindness, your grace, O Lord, be upon us in proportion to our waiting and our hoping in you." I'm going to say it to you again. This is what the Lord was speaking back to me. Let your mercy and loving kindness, God, your grace, be upon us in proportion to our waiting and hoping in you. Now, what that meant to me, that the key word I got out of that was wait. There are times where God's just saying, you're waiting upon me. And I like it when you wait upon me. You don't run ahead. You don't just run out and try to do something to do something. You wait upon me. I like that. And in proportion to waiting and hoping, God says, I'll give you mercy and grace in proportion. So you have to wait. That's good. There's more grace upon you because you're having to wait. You're having to hope. So that's a good thing. And then after a while, my wife was done praying, and I went over and sat next to her, and I said, what did you get? And she got a scripture on waiting as well, waiting on the Lord. Both of us, scriptures of God encouraging us to wait upon him. It takes faith to wait on God, to keep praying. You don't see anything change, but you wait. It takes faith. And this is what he was doing. He's showing, I'm building faith in you. And I'm putting mercy and grace in your life in proportion to the waiting and the hoping that you have to do. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. So we have this scene here that Jesus is teaching. Okay, he talks about this widow coming before this unjust judge. Now, Jesus is talking about prayer. He's teaching us something about prayer that we need to know. The scene is a courtroom, a judge, and you're coming in a courtroom and you're presenting something to a judge. I don't know if you've ever been into a courtroom or had to appear before a judge, but there's a certain protocol that you have to do. Like you're going into, this is a teaching about prayer, and Jesus is teaching us something. You need to present your petitions before the just judge of all the earth, God Almighty, in a certain way. You prepare yourself before you go to court. So you're having issues with your adversary. Who's our adversary, church? The devil. Take the devil to court. This is what this is teaching. You got issues with the devil? Take the devil to court. Come before God, who is a just God, and make sure you follow the right courtroom protocol. Number one, dress properly. You don't go into courtroom with your baggy breeches hanging down to your knees. But spiritually, it's talking about put on the garment of praise. We enter God's gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We praise and we know we're going to get justice. We know God is good. We know God is just. We know God is right. So dress properly. When you come into the king's presence, put on your praise. Are you with me? Dress yourself with praise. Number two, address the judge with respect. You don't treat God as your buddy. He's your daddy. Yes. But this is a time to show great respect and honor as he is the judge of all the earth. Have you ever seen some of these courtroom shows on TV and people walk in and, you know, maybe Judge Judy or something like that, and they're presenting their case, you know, to the judge, and the judge says something to them and they say, yeah, I want to get up and smack them upside the head. No one has taught them protocol. You don't say yeah to a judge. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No. I mean, they obviously didn't learn. You don't do that. I mean, you're obviously setting yourself up for failure. Address the judge with respect and with honor. When we come before the Lord in prayer, it needs to be with respect and with honor. We know who we're talking to. Number three, be confident of perfect justice because God is a just God. You're presenting your case before him. You're presenting your issues, your petitions. Number four, turn off the cell phone when you enter the courtroom. Because when you talk to God, you don't need to have interruptions. That is disrespect. If you go into a courtroom today, they'll tell you at the beginning, the bailiff will come out and say, everyone turn off your cell phones. If anyone's cell phone goes off one time, we confiscate your phone. And everybody turns off their phone. And if somebody forgets to do it, they take their phone. When we're dealing with God, we need to be serious about this. No interruptions. When I go into prayer, it's like, I don't take my cell phone. No. I'm talking to God. Nobody's more important right now. Nobody. Bring your Bible, number five, because the judge may want to talk to you back through his word. When you go to prayer, I go on prayer walks a lot. I walk all over Fruitland Park, and I carry a notepad with me. Whenever you meet with somebody important, you should have a notepad because they may say something to you that you need to write down. And I want to remember it. I want to hold on to it exactly the way you said it, you see. Any meeting, important meeting you have a notepad. Why would it be any less with God? Why would you walk into the courtroom of God and not even have a notepad? You know, like, I'm going to remember everything? No. I want to write down everything you tell me, you see. Bring every issue and point to your adversary and ask for justice. Lord, the devil has stolen, he has killed, he has lied, he has stolen my financial harvest, he's stolen my health, he's stolen my family. I want justice, Lord. I'm asking for justice. I'm asking for restoration, Lord. He's stolen this. And you point to your adversary. Your adversary is not flesh and blood. It's the devil. See, so after you've presented your case, you rest. I rest my case, Your Honor. I have prayed and I have prayed through. I prayed my heart out. I prayed all the cares out of my heart. And now I rest. The matter is in your hands. You've heard my heart. You know, and I rest with your decision, sir. And whenever that is and how you, I trust you because you will bring about justice. Amen. So we take the devil to court in prayer. This is a part of prayer that we have not really paid much attention to, but it's important. It's a vital thing that we properly present our petitions before the Lord in the right way. Now, I have a confession of faith in God, and then I want us to have a little bit of time of prayer. This confession of faith is something I'd like you to say out loud with me, because there's something about speaking truth and applying it to our lives, saying it out loud is vital. It's like a declaration that our ears hear, and it builds our faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So when we've taken the things we've learned from the Word of God and we make it into our confession, it's strong. It's strengthening to us when we say this. This will actually strengthen your spirit by saying it and meaning it with your heart. So stand onto your feet with me, please, and let's say this out loud to the Lord, beginning with Father God. Father God, thank you for the mystery and the gift of prayer. Prayer is your invention and enables me to connect to you by faith. You have told me to pray and not to lose heart. I will not quit on you, and I will not stop praying, because faith prays and unbelief stops praying. Every time I pray, I am meeting with you. I ask you to take me deeper in prayer and in faith than I have ever gone. Teach me how to pray the way you want me to pray. Teach me how to intercede for others and to answers to my prayer. You have ordained that I will learn about prayer by praying. So thank you in Jesus' name. Now, before we go home tonight, I'm going to ask you, give you specifics to pray for your church. Okay? These things. I'd like you to pray for these four things. You can pray in a group. You can pray individually. But I want to ask you to pray out loud. Make it your own heart, okay? Pray for the church to grow in becoming a house of prayer and developing prayer ministry for the whole city, okay? Pray for church growth to grow in number and in finances. Pray for that specifically. The ministerial staff to grow stronger in the spirit and to have supernatural protection from the enemy. And then last, clarity of the vision that God has given Grace Tabernacle and the ministries that He wants us to start. We could do a lot of things, but we want to do what He wants us to do. Okay. So would you do that right now? Okay. You can sit if you need to sit. You can stand if you want to stand, but let's take 4 minutes. That's a minute for each one, and begin to pray out loud. I'm going to ask you to pray out loud. I want the voices to be heard in this atmosphere. Come on, let's just begin to pray right now. Come on, cry out, church. Lift your voice. Your voice is a weapon the enemy does not want to hear. Let your voice grow bold and strong in your petition. Bring these requests to the Lord. God, who is just, who hears. Grow our church, O God. Grow our church, God, to become this house of prayer. Oh God, and to develop in the prayer ministries, make us a house of prayer, God. Make us a place where we can pray 24/7. Lord, where the prayers will be heard around the world, where we'll see answers to prayer. Make this a war room, God. Make us warriors, God. Prayer warriors. People who know how to grab hold of God and your word and to pray and intercede and make things change because of prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let this church grow, God. Lord, make your church grow. You said you'd build your church. Grow your church, God. Build your church.
bring in people from the north and the south and the east and the west, the men, women, and children that you want here, God. Bring them in. Grow this church, not only in number, but in spirit and in finances, God. Grow this church, God. Make it a strong church, Lord. Make it a difference in the world, Lord. And the ministerial staff, God, to grow stronger in the spirit, stronger in prayer, stronger in unity, stronger in faith. And Lord, supernatural discernment and protection from the enemy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the prayers of the saints, God. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening us in prayer. For clarity of the vision, God. Specifics, Lord. Strategy. What you want to happen here, God, in this church. The ministries you want to start that have yet to be birthed. The things you want us to carry on with. The things you want us to stop. Help us to know what it is, God. To welcome your changes, Lord. What you want done, we will do, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for strategy and clarity and purpose. Clearly defined. And what you order, you pay for. We know that. We thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you for the ministries that are going to be developed here. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. May your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done. Right here in this place, God. We bless you. And we thank you, God. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory. Forever and ever, and ever and ever, and ever and ever, and amen. Amen, church. Amen. So be it. We agree. Amen. Amen. God has heard. He has heard us. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.